opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here at the studios at KCNR 96.5.
We were admiring Pet of the Week.
And
okay.
1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop in our chat room. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And what national day could it be today?
It is National Bobblehead Day.
Oh, good.
Okay, did you say bubble or bobble?
Bobblehead.
It's like Biden head day. Today, the 7th of January. Okay, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear that.
Okay. The 7th of January, 7:06 in the morning. Well, wait a minute. You mean you can't say things about... Well, yes, you can. Wait a minute. That's just wrong.
Well,
that's what this show is. We talk about different things.
I want
to say Biden head as opposed to bobblehead, it was just a play on words.
Okay.
Today, the 7th of January, the 7:06 in the morning news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Now, you can say anything you want about the weather.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you very much for your permission, sir. I'll take it. Rain likely, then chance of showers with a high of 52 and overnight lows of 37. Tomorrow calls for sunny. Yay, with a high of 55, overnight lows of 36. Sunday, areas of frost and mostly sunny with a high of 56. Sunday night, chance of rain once again on Sunday night. And Monday, chance of rain. Tuesday looks like mostly sunny. So we know for the weekend, we do have, like, if you want to get out on your bike or clear out your shed and put your Christmas tree decorations down or whatever that is, you're going to have a nice weekend. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated. Senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. And, yes, we were admiring our Pet of the Week this morning with Katrina, and she brought in a darling. I mean, just a beautiful dog that's got the most sweet disposition, Vixen. Good morning, Katrina from Haven Humane. What is going on with Vixen?
Good morning. Like you said, she is just the sweetest dog. She's almost 2 years old. We have her as a shepherd mix, and she is just so loving. She's young, but I wouldn't say she's a super high-energy dog. She's definitely just sweet and cuddly, and I think she would honestly fit in well with people of all ages and all lifestyles. I think she'd be a good family dog. She really likes kids a lot, and she does like other dogs, so I think she could fit in a lot of different households. But she's honestly just so sweet. She really loves cuddles. She really loves just being close to you. She's not super rambunctious. She definitely loves playing with toys, but she calms down pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
She is she's got such a sweetheart. She's, when you go over to pet her, all she does, she looks right in your eyes.
Yeah. She's got like, that. Oh boy, you're in trouble.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I love what you're doing.
She would be hard to leave home from. Because she's that, she's going to break her heart every time you walk out the door. So tell us, did you give her weight approximately?
Man, she's pretty small. I would say she's definitely under, like, 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She's a medium-sized dog, but she's on the very small end of medium.
Right.
A very, very, like, good-sized dog, especially if you are not someone who has a lot of space for a big dog.
Right.
She's not very heavy.
Well, what's happening in Haven Humane in the month of January?
First off, we do have a lot of dogs right now. A lot of dogs.
Did you just, because we just see you every week. I mean, last time, I don't think before Christmas or New Year's, there were a lot of dogs, right?
No, we kind of just exploded into the new year with dogs.
Do you think that has to do with maybe runaways from New Year's Eve? Did you have people, because we did hear people say that some of their pets fled. That's an issue when people are, you know, popping off fireworks and whatever they do to explode at night from 9 to midnight on New Year's Eve. Did you guys get an influx?
I mean, there's definitely some. I'd say it's probably a small factor, but I think it's a lot of it's just after the holidays, people switching up what they're doing and their life and whatnot. We end up with a lot of animals.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so now's the time to make an appointment with Haven Humane, correct?
That's right. So I think we'd have a dog for pretty much anyone. We have a pretty big selection right now, so it's definitely a good time to come on down. And you can always give us a call at 241-1653.
All right. Well, Happy New Year to you.
You too. Thank you.
Has it been good so far?
Yeah, it has.
Any 6 days or 7 days? Today would be like, 7 days.
The first week of the new year.
Yeah, the first week of the new year.
Yeah, it's been good.
Well, the Bissell dog or the Bissell pet adoption went well for y'all.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was very, very successful. Mm-hmm. That was a great promotion. A lot of animals got adopted.
And how long have you had Vixen now?
We've had her a little over a month.
Okay. Vixen is a shepherd mix. She's small. She's a small shepherd mix. She'd fit into an apartment. She'd fit into a house. You just said she'd be good with kids. It seems like she'd be good with kids and with people of all ages.
That's right.
She looks like the kind that would go up to a baby and lick its face. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah. That's definitely her.
Yeah. And then when she kind of like jumped up, not jumped up, but got on her hind legs, and she put her feet on the table here. It was, you know, like, hello, how are you? And maybe I shouldn't do this, but hello, it's new. Good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, okay. So does she have any special price on her?
Actually, she is fully sponsored.
Whoa.
Okay. So, you know, if you've been thinking you way to want to get through the tinsel and the crazy, you know, New Year's and the holidays, if you are looking to not just adopt, but to bring a new being into your life, and you don't want a big, big dog, but you want, you know, a dog that's substantial, could sit in the car next to you, go in and out. This dog is really, I think, could fill a spot in your life that you're looking for. That's just how I'm going to say it. Not a lot of work. Feeling like she's not a lot of work. She has had puppies. So you can, she's two-ish. And she's like a brown beige with a little spot on her nose, got little freckles on her nose, and she is adorable. She's a sweet girl.
We're going to take a photo of her and put her on our chat room and perhaps even our Facebook page.
Thank you so much for joining us, Katrina.
Of course. Thank you.
Did I say the weather was brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane?
No.
And that they've been a sponsor of the weather for the entire time we've been here, and we do love the Kenny family. They do so much, you know, like they're kind of the secret angel family, as we know with some of the people that have been our sponsors do so much in our community that aren't printed, that is not printed or covered, and what they do in, helping somebody buy a car or supporting the veterans community or supporting a hospital or supporting some kind of, like Haven Humane. You know, our sponsors do special things that a lot of people don't know about, and we are just so proud to have Shasta Gas Propane and the Kenny family as far as the sponsor here for KCNR with the weather. 7:13 in the morning. We are going to have Doug LaMalfa call in at 8 o'clock hour.
Terry Schutte from Health and Human Services, Shasta County, will be joining us at 7:30.
All right. She's going to give an update of what's happening with numbers and that kind of thing. So I would think that please keep tuned in. And
yeah. Well, let's take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms has been in the business just about as long as we have. It's been a success in battling the big box stores and others. He's our firearms dealer of choice. This is where we buy our pistols, our long guns. He has all the accessories we need. He has ammo. Like I said, optics, holsters, and you can get CCW training, all of this at Bastiani Arms, and he gives discounts to vets. That's Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Give him a call at 222-8222. Bastiani Arms. 7:14 in the morning. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Recently, Supervisor Modi claimed he helped crack down on illegal cannabis, but it was Modi's actions 6 years ago that dismembered Shasta County's marijuana eradication team. Now, over 7,000 organized grows have invaded Shasta County with devastating effects. Even the Mexican drug cartel finds it easier to grow in Shasta County than in their own country. If you want a safe and secure Shasta County, vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
In the last month, Supervisor Modi used our tax dollars to give substantial raises to county department heads, many of which had received raises just 6 months ago. Modi claims the county is currently low on funds, and yet without batting an eye, he willingly raised salaries to individuals who are already grossly overpaid. Don't allow Modi to continue to waste our money. Vote yes to recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. Green Bay, your friendly oil change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park and our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
To the town of Avril rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say.
Okay, now last night on my Thursday night show,
a big iron on his hip.
Marty Robbins.
Well, you're going to have fun picking out your songs because Carl and Ted's most excellent adventure will begin on the last Thursday of the month with the name soon to be announced. And last night we laughed so hard. Carl came on the last half of my show, which was, you know, usually I talk about, well, it was entertaining, I'll tell you. Because of all the names that have been sent in from on Facebook for people, there's like a contest. $50 goes to the winner of Black Bear Diner Bucks of the winner who, comes up with the name that they use for their Thursday night kind of man talk or cave talk. I mean, we laugh so hard for some of the names, right?
Well, it's not going to be just man talk. I mean, this is, you know, two guys talking or whatever. I mean, the names were pretty funny. A lot of them really funny. You know, people, I was surprised we had 3,000 people, you know, reached in. hundreds of names. I just, you know, I put it out there and then Ted shared it and that was it. And it's gone, you know, and other people have shared it too, so it's gone crazy. But yeah, it's going to be Thursday nights, the last Thursday of the month, and Ted and I are going to sit here. We're going to, two things we know we'll have is the bourbon of the month and the cigar of the month.
And you heard from people that
I heard from
live,
your high school.
You were hearing from people who do not live in Shasta County, not just from my high school buddies, but from people who lived here at one time but moved to different states.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And some of your old or former Marine buddies. It's just like exploded. It was funny.
It was so much fun.
I really enjoyed it. We laughed last night. We went to dinner afterwards to Kobe next door and had a little bite of sushi. And that was nice. You know what? We forget because a lot of times we just really have our head and we have to, you know, we're working. We come home. We're trying to, you know, we've been really good for like 6 months on a special kind of, you know, dietary thing that we follow. So, or whatever, maybe too much information, but we just don't really go out to dinner as much. We're going to go out tonight, but with some friends, but like we do. So here is Thursday night. The place was packed with kids.
Oh yeah. And I mean,
families midweek.
Yeah.
Out to dinner.
It was. It was pretty full.
We're like, wow, you know what?
Avelo Airlines launched their first flight to Las Vegas yesterday. And it was, it didn't go off on time. Well, the reason being is it came in on time, but there was fog.
Oh,
so they had to circle, then they had to go get more fuel because they've been circling, and then they came in and left with a full flight.
Mm-hmm.
It was delayed because of fog, but off it went. And this was the inaugural, you know, flight. And starting, next week, it'll be from, I think it starts Monday through Friday. You can fly there.
Oh, okay. I thought it only flew Thursday and Friday.
No, Thursday and Sunday. No, that was for this first one.
Oh.
And so the next times it'll be flying on a Monday and come back on a Friday, which really is not bad because you get better rates.
Yeah, you do get better rates.
And then,
I'm just wondering if there's cocktails at the airport. I know you got
cookies. There were cookies.
You got choo-choos upstairs, but we did that once when we were taking an international flight. You remember we went upstairs to choo-choos? And by the time our any kind of food arrived and we got our cocktail, it was time to pre-board. And we're like, remember that?
We did?
Yeah, that was. They were like, I don't remember. No, that was when we were going to be went with a bunch of. Really, that was quite an excellent adventure when we took a bunch of veterans.
Peter Bogdanovich died.
Oh no!
82 years old. Last picture show. Paper Moon.
No, he did some.
He did a lot of great movies. And he passed yesterday. The SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, is hearing the Biden vaccination mandate cases that the states are fighting against. They're hearing that today. Yesterday, of course, being January 6th, we discussed that, the riots at the Capitol. The attack by some, by very, very few, on trying to stop the process of how our government works, completely wrong, and they'll end up in jail for this. Things that are kind of a little bit unsettling about that, of course, are that some people are still in jail after being arrested without being charged, and it's been a year. It seems like something could be done there. The other thing is, I usually, when Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, opens her mouth, I usually don't pay attention that much because, you know, Kamala, you know, she was in charge of she's the border czar, and it's, of course, gotten worse. And anything she seems that she gets into is kind of interesting. But she compared January 6th to 9/11. And Pearl Harbor. Now, I have a real problem with that. And I imagine if you ask people that were there on 9/11, you know, some of the first responders, how January 6th was comparable to that. It's bombastic, but, you know, she's not the only one that does it. Biden mentioned Trump's name 16 times in the speech, said it wasn't partisan. Of course it was partisan. Nancy Pelosi brought in the cast of Hamilton to sing Insurrection or something, a song. I'm not sure where January 6th became an event, a theater event, but we should have known. But I think my bottom line on this is I think everybody agrees, well, most everybody agrees, that was wrong, that those people went way too far. They came into the Capitol building. A percentage of the group that came in tried to stop Congress from doing its work. It led to the death of a young woman who disobeyed the laws. Went through a window after being told not to come through and was shot. That's tragic. Air Force veteran, it was just tragic. However, it wasn't an insurrection, and what it did was painted so many of people who voted for Trump, who thought that Trump had some ideas that were helping our country, painted them all as a bunch of crazed, quasi-terrorists. Played right into the hands of the Democrats. I mean, if you're going in that direction. But it's over. It's been a year. Instead, now we have COVID, beginning another year in COVID. And would you take, Linda, when it comes out, another booster shot for another type of COVID coming through?
Are you asking me that on the air right now? You decided to just put me up against the wall and say, okay.
Okay, maybe I should have put it like this. This newest, and we're going to have Carrie Schutte in here. I want to ask her this. This Omicron, supposedly if you have the booster shot, it helps you with this. But even places like Huffington Post are saying things like, the White House is in Center for Disease Control has got some real messaging problems on when they say things and then change things, like how long you need to be isolated now. So,
well, in the according to some of these headlines that are coming out today, that maybe this is this morning, the U.S. reported new single-day records for coronavirus deaths and hospitalizations yesterday. And the U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention warned that the total national COVID-19 death toll could exceed 430,000 by month's end. So at least 52 cases of coronavirus variant first identified in the U.K. have now been found in the U.S. So I think right now we're kind of all moving in a place of concern and confusion, and there is fear. I do know, like, for instance, I know this is going to sound trivial, but just like going to get, for instance, my hair, going in, like, okay, first they were mad, then it closed down. Then it was masked, and it was mandated that you wear a mask, and that went on for months. And then that relaxed. And then the next thing is they're masked, and they ask for us to be masked until January 15th, which at one time will be a new revision of what is,
the
new rules. Now, it's interesting where we go in different areas, because when we were traveling to Sacramento, Sacramento is much more stringent in their mask requirements.
Right.
I don't know when you're in the airport here in Reading.
Las Vegas was pretty stringent.
Yes.
At the airport here in Reading, I don't know.
Forget about Albuquerque and New Mexico. The whole time we were gone, everywhere, even when you got out of your car to get gas, you had to put a mask on.
It was weird. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We have Carrie Schutte with us from Health and Human Services for a recap of this past year with COVID and what we're looking at right now. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, community-oriented, dedicated, locally owned, local board of directors. Three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, 1845 California Street, right downtown Reading. The main branch in the Cobblestone Shopping Center, of course, and the newest branch opening very soon, and Anderson at the old Kentucky Fried Chicken Place. Cornerstone Community Bank's been here for 15 years, and since the day they opened, they've been moving local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Being beat up and battered around, being sent up and I'm being shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:34 in the morning, rain on and off today. Looks like it's on right now. I don't know their idea of off. It's rain on until it's off. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody does windshields better than Jeff Wurst. It's a veteran-owned business, and whether it's a chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff can fix it. He guarantees his work. He is truly a master at keeping your family safe. Bring your vehicle in for a free inspection and analysis at 3208 South Market Street. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. Just as an example, he fixed a crack in my windshield in 2007. You still can't see it. Yes, that's the kind of work this man does. Hey, we are here, one of our favorite people, Carrie Schutte from Shasta County Health and Human Services. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me. All right.
You know, so it's your
get
height.
Get it right up in my face.
Yeah, I get it. You know,
my height is lower than most people's height.
Vertically challenged.
That's right.
Okay. you are the spokesperson. You are not the doctor.
Correct.
You are not the decision maker.
Correct.
You are the spokesperson.
Yes, sir.
You're like the you're the press secretary, gets out in front and gets hammered.
That's right. I'm the big mouth, and I only play a doctor on your radio show. So yes.
Yeah, I stayed at Holiday. What is it? Holiday Inn last night, and I can do brain surgery. Okay. This is a serious. A serious subject here.
It is.
Can we start with statistics from last year for COVID?
Sure. So I was looking at last year's first report of the year compared with this one, and as of last year on January 4th, which was the first Monday in January, we reported that there were 8,268 people who had COVID, and now we have 23,487. So
it's over doubled.
Almost, looks like almost tripled, which, course, expected because it's a contagious disease. And then the other really important number is the deaths. And back then we had reported 78.
And this was in 2020.
Over 2020, the first day of 2021.
And that's when it had started.
Correct.
And we kind of like dodged the bullet there for the first 8 months.
Yeah, we sure did.
And then everybody was going, COVID.
Right. What's this all about? Yeah, why are we closing down?
And then that September of 20, school started up. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened, it surged.
Yeah, things started to get a little get more pronounced here. We had that big spike last winter and then another spike over the past summer. And then now, of course, that the Omicron is spreading around here. So in the year 2020, we reported 78 deaths. And then as of now, we've had 498. So that's, a 420 people who died last year.
In Shasta County.
In Shasta County, correct.
Okay, so I wanted to clarify because this is something that kind of is very foggy in some conversations.
Okay.
And the question would be that when somebody passes, and it's an underlying issue. Mm-hmm. They go because maybe they have diabetes or whatever, they are already living with a condition, and they get COVID. This is the foggy part.
Okay.
People say, it's COVID related death. And is there something I think you were saying, and not the autopsy, but the science behind they died from COVID or they got COVID and they died from it with underlying conditions? Because that's the confusing part for people.
Sure. And, back in the early days, people said if you had COVID and you died in a plane crash, it was considered a COVID death. And, of course, that's not at all true. Each of the death certificates is reviewed. The death certificate is filled out by the attending physician or the coroner if it's a coroner's case. It comes to public health. The epidemiologists review it, and then the health officer reviews and confirms it. And what we're looking for is that COVID caused the death. Now, you might have you and I might both have COVID, and I have diabetes, and you don't, and you're going to recover, and maybe I'm not because the diabetes has made my immune system weaker or has made my body system weaker, and I'm not as able to fight off that COVID and recover from it as you are, but it still is the COVID that killed me.
All right. So then would that be considered died of COVID or underlying issues? And I mean, how is that worded?
So a death certificate usually has multiple conditions on it, and it it describes the things that led to the person's death, all of the conditions that the person might have. Generally speaking, there's not just one thing on a death certificate, COVID or not.
There'll be several.
Yes. All right. Right. But I think our listeners need to hear this. So.
Right. So COVID is... If COVID is listed as one of the things, one of the contributing causes on a death certificate, those are the ones that come to us. Some of them, it's determined, no, it was not COVID that caused that death. Even though that person was COVID positive, they died of something unrelated to COVID, and the COVID had nothing to do with the reason that they died. That person is not one of these 498.
But if COVID was a contributing factor.
Correct.
It would be, even though it could have been... not the major contributing factor, but it was a contributing factor, would it still be counted as a COVID death?
If they would not have died today because if they didn't have COVID, then
that's
yes.
What this doc said. He had the first doctor said he had the first four COVID deaths we had. And he said, all in all of them were very ill.
Yeah.
But they still would have been alive if it hadn't been for COVID. Mm-hmm. Now, would they have died in the next month or 2 months? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But
could have.
COVID... Well, could have, but mm-hmm. COVID was the factor.
Right.
So I understand that part. So, I mean, you could have 12 underlying conditions, but if COVID was the one that pushed them over the top.
If COVID contributed to it, exactly. And one of the things I like to explain, too, is that, you know, I'm almost 50 years old. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, my blood sugar is not great. Especially the past 2 years, my blood pressure is not great. Mm-hmm. But I certainly don't plan to die from any of those things anytime soon. But if I got COVID today and I died from it, then that's a COVID death, regardless of the other things that I have going on.
And this is the hard part that people, I think, have. And that was a good question.
No, I mean, it's a very confusing.
It is. Like Fauci came out the other day and said, Dr. Fauci came out the other day and said, kids that get admitted into hospitals, so many times they're said kids admitted for COVID. And he says, we've really got to watch how we say this. They could come in with a broken arm. They test them for COVID when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're admitted with COVID, not for COVID.
Sure.
And that had been said before by other people, but until Fauci said it, those people were kind of like, you know, de-twittered and de-platformed. But that's an important part, too. You have it, but that's not why you went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And didn't know you had it going in.
Yeah, in those cases with kids.
And I think sometimes it feels a little bit like semantics because we know, I'm sure that you know people, and I certainly know people who have died because they got COVID and COVID killed them.
Yeah.
So whether it's 498 or 496 or 535.
But here's the bottom line on this is, and if you look at the, and I'm a kind of a statistics guy. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a logical guy when it comes to these things. I look at the people in the hospitals. I look at the people who've been vaccinated. I look at the people in intensive care wards. I see how many have been vaccinated, how many have not been vaccinated. Right. And the vast majority have not been vaccinated.
That is correct.
On the other hand, when we were told that the vaccine was the silver bullet.
Well, who told you that?
Well, that was kind of what we're getting this vaccine. This vaccine is going to protect people. I think it wasn't really clear at the beginning because I read a lot of stuff that this vaccine is a leaky vaccine.
Well, I remember hearing the term leaky.
Well, but that was months later that you can still catch it and you can still pass it
on. Sure, yes, you can.
And see, there we go back to the very beginning when we as a country could have united and said, we got a problem here instead of making it a political football, which it still is.
Right, and I feel like right now we have the opportunity to change that, right? I mean, so, that's what happened back in February and March of 2020. We're almost 2 years past that now, and we're
absolutely
seeing 90% of our people that are hospitalized, 90% of our people are dying or not vaccinated. That data is very clear, and I feel like, politics aside, that this is a, you know, President Trump was on TV the other day saying, please get vaccinated.
He was. Absolutely.
We're all on the same side. Nobody wants anyone to be dying from a communicable disease.
Absolutely.
Carrie, have people let up on you? Because I can imagine when you talk about, you know, the pressure of almost as if when you were waving the flag of trying to get people to understand that you are Health and Human Services, your statistics, you are the gatherer, you are the public relations person to get out the statistics, right, the science, and people were bearing down on you very hard. Are they still, have they let up?
Gosh, it's kind of hard to say. A lot of my team has started to take on some of this work, so the pressure is a little bit less on me and a little bit more on them now. But, you know, I would say it still is very, you know, it's a very volatile issue. And if I had a wish for 2020, here's what it would be. And it relates to the two of you, actually. I remember you telling me early on that, you know, you've both been vaccinated.
Absolutely.
I hope it's okay for me to say that.
We say it all the time.
Yeah, and you believe in vaccine. And you didn't do it because Governor Newsom told you to.
No.
I could care less what that jerk says.
There you go. So you did it because you want to protect your health, you want to protect your parents, you want to protect the people around you, and you want to keep yourself safe and healthy. That was your decision to do that. And I think my wish is that now that we've had 2 years to look at data and study and see kind of what's going on, and we see that it's pretty clear that the vaccine is preventing people from getting really sick in almost all cases, that they're going to say, well, we still don't like Governor Newsom, but we do believe that this, you know, scientific development is a good idea and a good way to protect ourselves and our loved ones from this virus.
And let's just say that even though, and we got to take, we're over time. I'll talk about this.
Sorry.
No. When we get back, we'll talk about the pros and cons of, the mental side of being vaccinated or not being vaccinated and to stand in public life.
And a little
like
bit
you.
About Omicron.
Yes. Okay. All
right. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite, Mike Huber. Mike Huber is it's a veteran owned business, but he is a total supporter of this county, this area here. And he's been doing this work for close to 20 years.
He also does angel work.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of angel work, helping people in that sense. But he is a true artist when it comes to working with marble and granite, slate, any of these. And it's almost like he has 1,000 designs in his head that when you talk to him, because you can get a free consultation about what you like, and he can make your dreams kind of like come true. New bathrooms, new kitchens, all of this. He did wonders in our kitchen. He works by appointment only, so give him a call at 241-STONE or check it out at estategranite.com. We'll be right back with Carrie Schutte.
Vote yes to recall Leonard Mody. My name is Woody Clendenin, and I'm a small business owner in Shasta County. I, like you, have watched as Mody has gone along with Governor Newsom's draconian mandates on our businesses and schools. He is supported by known socialists and BLM activists, and he doesn't make decisions with the interests of the people in mind. And it's time we elect someone who does. Vote yes to recall Leonard the Rhino Mody. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighty, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, my name is Martin Reed, and I'm one of the teachers here in Shasta County who started the school walkout in protest of mandates. I'm sick of government overreach. Tim Garman, the president of Happy Valley School Board, voted to not enforce the mandates in his school district. Now, he is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, and Tim will end the mandates in Shasta County as well. Vote yes to recall Leonard Modi, and vote for Tim Garman. No more mandates. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Good morning and welcome back to our morning show here on KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM. This is your talk radio at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Hey, our favorite jewelry store. Yep. Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive for all your jewelry needs. Go in there for a clean, get your watch repaired, get your battery replaced, get a prong fixed, fix an estate piece, whatever you need to do in order to, keep it updated, keep it fresh. Valentine's Day is coming up. If you have a special, it's men and women's jewelry, and they also have estate pieces as well. That's Four Winds Jewelry on Hilltop Drive.
Okay. Hey, we're with Carrie Schutte from, she's the spokesperson. She's the front man. She's the main target. From Shasta County Health and Human Services. We talked about last year's statistics. In 2020, the numbers were very low. We were blessed in Shasta County to kind of avoid it for most of the year. Then the numbers went way up and way up again. And so, the count for the number of people who have died from COVID, and we discussed what that means. It doesn't mean, with COVID, it's from COVID. There's 498 people. Plus, we have a number of people in the hospitals right now and some in the intensive care rooms. Mm-hmm. We've known people in their 50s mm-hmm. who have passed from COVID with no, and we didn't know if they had any underlying conditions. So, Omicron, this came out of, nowhere, and it seems to be the virus that everybody's catching now, as opposed to Delta. So is it, wiped out Delta and it's Omicron?
I know. All of that, we have now seen Omicron in Shasta County, and the way that the virus is spreading right now is pretty indicative that is quickly becoming more prevalent here in Shasta County. So yes, it has slightly different symptoms. It's
is it as deadly? It doesn't seem to be as bad.
That's my understanding. Yes, is that it's not necessarily making people as sick. So that's great news.
That's great news. So you can get it and work through it like that.
Right.
And I've only heard of one person that's died from Omicron. But yet it is now the one that's kind of sweeping the country.
Right.
So is that kind of good in a way?
You know,
Nothing's good. You can't say it's good.
We would like for it to just go away completely, yeah. but I don't know. You know, it's the more people that get something, there's you know some immunity out there from the disease, but it's just hard to know. I mean, and that's been the story, right? Like you were talking about earlier about what Dr. Fauci was saying back in March 2020, and now things are very different because it's a novel virus. That's what's so unusual about it, right? Is that it was new and nobody knew anything about it, and we're still learning. And as every new variant crops up, we're learning more new things.
So my question, and that would be not just for Carrie, but actually for people listening in general, do you feel that as we progress into the next 10 years or in our future, while we're in this lifetime, in this world, we're going to have more, maybe it's called something else, let's make up a name, something else that begins with an M or a whatever, and there's going to be these viruses that are unleashed in our world, and I mean, we could be getting shots till the day, you know, the cows come home to try to fight off the different viruses that are going to be in our future. Is mask wearing going to be how we travel in the future? Is this just something that's going to be in our next generations?
That's a great question.
Like, the world has been altered.
Yeah,
we have been altered.
Looking into your crystal ball here.
Right. I know. I wish I had my crystal ball says this is all going to be done and we won't have to worry about any of this anymore. But you know, it's a really good point. And I think we saw, for the past two flu, we're still in the midst of flu season right now, but last flu season, we saw very little flu. And why was that? Probably because of all the precautions that we had in place
washing
that we don't
hands,
usually use.
Washing hands.
Yeah.
Being masked,
you know, just
staying
that
home.
Heightened awareness yeah. of personal hygiene and, yeah. and wearing masks, which of course we would never do. And, you know, and some of the gatherings were smaller. We were just more careful. And so not only were we not catching COVID, but we also were not catching colds and flu and all of those other things. Now, we don't want to be locked down, you know, and have to stay home and not have our Christmas parties and all that forever. But that was kind of a side benefit.
Which is the problem. We need to embrace COVID. Okay? I know it's a horrible thing to say. We need to embrace COVID, that it's here, and we need to move on with our lives. We need to not be afraid. We need to keep our schools open because we know the devastating effect, kids not being able to go to school, staying at home, the effects it's having on families, on their economy, all of these things.
Sure.
We need to embrace the fact that COVID's here. Get a vaccination. If you choose not to get the vaccination, fine, live with the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's totally up to the person. But we can't just keep going. You know, I feel like we stagger from one side to the other. And it must be tough for Karen Ramstrom. She
yes.
must be, you know, when she yes. says, okay, this is the way it's going to be, and a week later, she gets something else.
Right.
How do you handle that?
We honestly just really do our best to be clear, open, and transparent about what we know and what we don't know. There are a lot of things we don't know yet. There are a lot of things that are, you know, still being studied. There are things that are happening at the CDC. You know, they change guidelines, or the California Department of Public Health changes guidelines. And we just kind of have to
Is it a week or 2 weeks? If you pop positive for COVID, uh-huh. no matter what strain, it used to be you stayed home for 10 days. Now, is it 5 days?
That's a good question. I looked at this the other day, and here's what I remember seeing, and I apologize if this isn't exactly 100% accurate. It's all listed on CDPH and CDC. But my understanding is if I test positive for COVID, I isolate for 5 days. After the fifth day, if I take a test and I test negative and my symptoms are better, then I can be done with my isolation. If I choose not to test, or if I still have symptoms that have not gotten better, then I do need to continue isolating for that 10 days. And then if you do get out of jail free with that test and the no symptoms, you're supposed to, you know, be sure to wear your mask at all times from day 6 through 10, just because, you know, you still have the possibility, I guess, of spreading. So yeah, that was a big change, and, we're all trying to understand it ourselves and then also help the community understand what's going on.
Now let's talk about COVID
tests.
Let's
talk about 45 seconds.
Okay, COVID tests. there are different, you know, the home tests sometimes don't always work. Are you hearing that?
Yeah, it can be. Sometimes it can take some time. You can test negative on a home test and then later test positive. So, yeah, if you have symptoms, what I've been just kind of using as a rule of thumb is that if you have symptoms and you test negative on an at-home test, I would still do your best to stay home and be really careful. Because you've got something, right?
Right.
You've got something
right.
that other people don't want.
Yeah, it could be the flu.
Absolutely. It could be anything. Absolutely. And nobody wants that, even if it's not COVID.
All right.
Okay. Carrie Sheedy.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
As usual, Will comes in here with the facts as she knows them. And that is not on the negative side. You tell us the things that you know, not what you think.
That's right.
And
that's
and we appreciate that. Okay, Congressman Lamoffa should be calling us around 8:05, and we'll see. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta, Reading.
99. I was very surprised.
Wages also rose sharply, a sign that companies are competing fiercely to fill their open jobs. The Supreme Court is taking up two major Biden administration efforts to bump up the nation's vaccination rate against COVID-19 at a time of spiking coronavirus cases because of the Omicron variant.
Challengers argue that the vaccine rules exceed the administration's authority. But the Solicitor General, the administration's top Supreme Court lawyer, wrote that they are needed to avoid unnecessary hospitalizations and deaths. Nearly 207 million Americans, 62% of the population, are fully vaccinated, and more than a third of the country has received a booster shot, including the nine justices.
Correspondent Mike Kempen reporting. A winter storm that has already left areas of the south with more than 6 inches of snow moved into the northeast during the morning commute and prompted many school districts to close for the day. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker urged people to stay off the roads Friday and take public transportation if possible. Actor Sidney Poitier is dead at the age of 94. In 1963, Poitier became the first black winner of a lead actor Oscar for his performance in Lilies of the Field. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 73 points. The NASDAQ is down nearly 164. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's that time again. Time for fresh starts and resolutions. And Harry's can help. Harry's is an award-winning razor brand that makes a full range of grooming essentials. But the benefits go way beyond a great shave at a fair price. Maybe you resolve to take control of your finances. With cartridge refills as low as $2 each, your budget won't even flinch when you switch to Harry's and save all year. And with checkout code SRNGOLD at harrys.com, you can get a trial set for just $3. If your resolution is to always look and feel your best, that's Harry's specialty. Their high-quality razors combine an ergonomic design with 5 super-sharp blades, shipped directly to you with a 100% money-back guarantee. New customers can get a Harry's starter set for just $3 at harrys.com with code SRNGOLD at checkout. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and travel cover, all for just $3. That's code SRNGOLD at checkout at harrys.com.
A top official says Novak Djokovic is not being held captive in Australia as the men's world number one tennis player faces deportation over COVID vaccination rules.
It's unclear if the world number one will remain in the immigration detention hotel where he spent last night. Yesterday, Djokovic's mother, Diana, said her son was being kept like a prisoner. But the Australian Home Affairs Minister, Karen Andrews, said there was nothing stopping the tennis star from leaving the country if he chose not to pursue the case. Novak Djokovic has previously made clear his opposition to getting the vaccine. He came to the country with an exemption granted by Tennis Australia and the state of Victoria.
BBC correspondent Shaima Khalil reporting. Three suspected pirates who were detained on a Danish military vessel after a fatal gunfight with the Danish Navy off West Africa have been released. News and analysis at townhall.com. British troops are being deployed to hospitals in London that are struggling to cope with major staff shortages amid the surge in COVID-19 cases.
The Ministry of Defense says it's sending some 40 military medics and 160 general duty staff to plug staffing gaps caused by National Health Service personnel who are either ill or self-isolating amid the spike in coronavirus cases in the capital. The military deployment underscores the impact on Britain's health service of the pandemic that affected nearly 180,000 people on Thursday alone in the country, forcing many workers to stay home. While the current military focus is on London, it could spread. Charles de Ledesma, London.
NATO foreign ministers are discussing Russia's military buildup around Ukraine. It's the first in a series of high-level talks over the next week aimed at easing tensions. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're on 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday. Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop in our chat room the same way. Today, the 7th of January, 8:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And Linda's here with the weather.
Good morning, everybody. It looks like we're going to have rain likely, then a chance of showers today. If you look outside, it is wet. 52 will be our highs, overnight lows of 37 with patchy fog tonight. Saturday calls for sunny with a high of 55. Beautiful Saturday night. Mostly clear, then areas of frost with an overnight lows of 36. Sunday, areas of frost and mostly sunny with a high of 56 and overnight lows of 40. Monday calls for 30% chance of rain, and Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high of 61. That's about a 4 or 5 day forecast. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, which is located in Anderson, Kenny family, where our customers are warm friends. Warm friends. 365-3794. Thank you. Okay. All right. So in the headline, I'm always a digit off. All right. Sorry about that, folks. Sidney Poitier, Oscar-winning actor, dies at 94. And we said before, I mean, Jared came around and talked about Peter Bogdanovich has passed away. Of course, we know Betty White. And it seems like I hate
to say it. It happens in threes.
It's the old, I don't even understand that and why that is. But, he made a film in Arizona, Lilies of the Field. You remember seeing that film?
It's in 1960, probably 3 or 4.
Yeah, it said he made, 63.
I remember seeing that film and thinking I was still young. I was still in high school. I mean, not even senior in high school, and thought that was a good film.
He was the first black winner of a leading Oscar. And he was, I just always thought he was just such an elegant, a beautiful actor, and he seemed to be humanitarian. Also with films like A Raisin in the Sun, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and Uptown Saturday Night, among others, but you liked In the Heat of the Night.
Well, Heat of the Night was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, you know, it was a powerful movie, too. One of my favorite movies was Sidney Poitier, and he was with, I believe it was Tom Berenger, and he played an FBI agent who was searching for a murderer, and Tom Berenger, I think it was Tom Berenger, plays a guide in the mountains. And they go after this guy because he ends up in the mountains up in Colorado or someplace. And I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, but it is I really, really enjoyed that movie. So, again, I like Tom Berenger. But the man had an incredible, incredible ability to bring you into his performance and for you to believe what you were seeing right there in the Lilies of the Field. You know, the story of a carpenter in a small town that helps a group of nuns.
Yes, 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 yes. But if you look at his life, he was an actor who was born in Miami and raised in the Bahamas. He was the son of tomato farmers before launching a career that went from small, hard-won theater parts to eventual Hollywood stardom. And he paved the way.
He did, and he was, like you said, one, you know, the first black male actor to win a to win the highest honor that the Academy Awards can
give. And I loved,
You know, I mean, everybody knows how I feel about the Academy Awards, but in this case, Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
You know, and he was going up against Paul Newman in, I think it was Hood.
I loved Paul him Newman in Sir With Love.
Yeah, well, but, oh, another great
yes.
movie. You know, another great movie of a man with incredible patience and love for the love for what he was doing as a teacher. But he went on Lilies of the Field, went up against HUD with Paul Newman, which was a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Newman did a great job in that, and Sidney Poitier won that year. And it wasn't until years later that Paul Newman received an Oscar for, I think it was The Color of Money or something. Something like that. Anyway, I don't pay that much attention. Well, I am...
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, but that was a sequel to the first one he did.
Well, anyway, so and Peter Bogdanovich as well, a wonderful director. Now, wasn't he... Oh, my gosh, I need to look this up. Go on, Carl.
Go on, Carl.
Yeah, go ahead. Go on.
Okay. Right now they're arguing the mandates at the Supreme Court. And Justice Sotomayor claims Biden's vaccine rule is not a mandate. I'm not sure what a mandate then is when the President of the United States says everybody will be vaccinated if you in a company of over 100 employees. And I'm going to enforce this through OSHA, and I'm going to charge you great deals of money if you do not acquiesce to this. And the battle's going on there. It's going to be interesting when they come back because they can say, you do not have the executive office of the president does not have the right to mandate these things, which is kind of pulls the power back to the states one more time, which is where it, you know, where it should be.
I want to do just a little mini bio quickly before we take our caller about Peter Bogdanovich. He was conceived in Europe, born in Kingston, New York. He was the son of immigrants fleeing the Nazis. A painter and pianist. His father was a Serbian Orthodox Christian. His mother was from a wealthy Austrian Jewish family. He was his legendary acting teacher, Stella Adler, was appearing on television and in summer stock. He received notoriety from programming movies at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. You have to hear this, Carl.
No, I don't.
Yeah, because he did a whole thing. He showed over 400 films some of which were John Ford. And he wanted to do notes on the John Ford and Howard Hawks. He did books about this. And I know that's something that you would find interesting, want to read about later.
I will. Good morning, Congressman LaMalfa.
Thanks for calling in.
Hello?
How you doing?
Oh,
good.
We're just making sure it's you.
Oh, it's me.
I am, you aren't, I've...
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
So what's your take on the January 6th thing yesterday? I was going to say extravaganza, but I don't know if that's the right word.
I called it a love-in.
A love-in.
Because they love talking about it and exploiting it. And, you know, I don't know if hype is the right word because obviously it was a really bad deal a year ago. You know,
it was a bad deal. It wasn't an insurrection.
It isn't an insurrection. An insurrection usually involves...
No. It was not an insurrection, but it was a riot that stopped what Congress was doing, and the people that did it need to be punished. But not everybody. I mean, not the whole Republican Party.
Delayed congressional election, but all this hand-wringing. Our democracy, well, first, we're not a democracy, kids, all right? But these are talking points, and they're being exploited, and the media is playing right along with it. When I had several interviews on that, well, what about our democracy? Democracy's election day, we're a representative republic, and I know maybe I'm getting hung up on something here, but this is all part of kind of a brainwashing that's the media's doing, the Democrats are doing, and what they're poised to do is change the way election process is anyway. They've been using this thing for a year in order to try and bolster their objective of passing a bill called H.R. 1 to have more federal centralization of elections and have Democrat policies on, you know, mailing everybody ballots willy-nilly, having early voting everywhere, having no voter ID in states that have voter ID. They're talking about the states that have worked to try and tighten up their election policy as if they're pariahs that are trying to restrict people's ability to vote. No law is say that if you're, that has been made, whether in the recent past or longer ago, denies a citizen of the United States that is eligible to vote the ability to vote. That's the bottom line. And they're talking like, wow, if you have to get voter ID, people of color unable to get an ID. Well, you see people interviewed, you know, people of color or what have you, and they say, yeah, there's the Democrats believe you don't know how to get an ID. And they're kind of like, what? You know, they're kind of insulted by that.
They should be.
And so
they should be.
It's very insulting, a lot of this stuff. The rhetoric used, I mean, you know, I watched some of the interviews yesterday. I was interviewed on Channel 40 in Sacramento and Channel 7 up your way. And Channel 40, one of the Democrat congressmen said, yeah, five cops were killed that day. Like, well, that's a complete distortion of what happened. The only person killed that day was a citizen shot by a cop, if you want to get right down to it. It was Ashley Babbitt. And others that had died around that day died of heart attacks and other medical conditions. And then later on, there was suicides. Some police committed suicide, a couple in July. You know, but they're trying to trace all this back to January 6th and to Donald Trump. That's the narrative here. Trump has been not president for nearly a year. And he's still living rent-free inside of the heads of the Democrats and the media, and they're trying to exploit all this oppressive election policy through towards having elections that are reliable, that are above board. You know, I mean, we saw back over a year ago when, you know, the Michigan vote count was, they put up coverings over the windows so people couldn't see in. So, you know. And for the January 6th events itself, as far as the electoral vote count done by Congress, which is something done constitutionally every 4 years, and this wasn't the first time there was objections to how some of the states did things. Our own California Senator Barbara Boxer helped object and lead a charge in 2004, I think it was, to a couple of the states. Their election outcome there. So, you know, is she a seditionist? Does she need to resign today? You know, at that time, even, trying to overturn the results of an election. You know, hey, the Democrats in 2016, you know, after 2016, they objected to the election. But we don't hear a peep about that because they didn't, you know, have a mob thing that they could point to say, this is going against our democracy. We're in a very dangerous time right now, the way the media is manipulating this and just reporting whatever the Democrats write down, or, you know, writing down just whatever they say, I mean, and running with it. Our democracy is in peril. And I want to tell you how appalling it was to see Biden standing yesterday making that speech in what used to be the House Chamber, the original House Chamber. It's called Statuary Hall now. It's kind of a semicircle room there that's between the big rotunda of the Capitol and the House actual, the new chamber, you could call it, the one that was built in the 1800s. That's the chamber we use now, the much larger one. They decided they needed a larger room and building. So this was the original statuary hall where the House did its business up from the first, when it was first built till about the 1860s somewhere. And so he held that speech and press conference in that hall, and that hall to me has a hallowed feel to it. You know, every state has two statues in the U.S. Capitol. We have Ronald Reagan in the rotunda. We have Father Serra in that hall, and a lot of other key historical figures are in that statuary hall. You'll see on the floor in there when you tour it, if we ever get allowed inside to have tours again, thanks to Pelosi and this COVID manipulation. But there's brass plaques on the floor that showed where the original desk locations were of some luminary figures. You can find Abe Lincoln's desk, you can find John Q. Adams' desk, and others that were in the House of Representatives before they got president or other higher figures in government. And so I think they tarnished that room. I think they in a way tarnished the House yesterday with what Harris and Biden said, plus a whole string of Democrats walking up to the microphone and hand-wringing over why elections are in peril and our democracy is teetering on the rim unless we pass H.R. 1 to get rid of voter accountability, voter ID, and make it up where there's a tight line of when elections are run instead of open-ended, and anybody opposes that, thinks differently that is a stitch in our democracy. So you have a little mad here, Carl.
Well, Doug, and that leads, Congressman, that leads to my next point here. The anger, the animosity, the divisiveness of our country is, I don't know if it's been like this since 1860 when we had a civil war. At least it appears to be like that, but I don't know because I don't really trust the things, that I'm hearing from the media. But the media is one of the main problems here. Why can't we...
Right there in your... that USA Today back newspaper of yours doesn't write anything accurate about what I do very often. And they call for me to resign and the seditions all that a year ago. So they'll probably still keep that up in the editorials here today. So,
We'll see.
Can't even get real. And the same thing with the one in Chico.
Yeah.
Two largest newspapers in my district say because they dare question the election process as it went down on January 6th and said, well, we'll have a say. There's nowhere else do we get a say. The courts kept throwing out cases and things like that where there was questions brought by how Pennsylvania, for example. A lot of people don't know this. The Pennsylvania legislature sent us all in Congress a letter a day or two ahead of the January 6th vote saying, we certified the election here, but we would really like to ask you guys to take a time out on this and not certify at the federal level on the 6th because we found some problems here that really need to be addressed and reviewed. Nobody talks about that, do they? Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know about that. I'm probably
okay. I told you that one before.
Yeah, you may have told me that one before, but I want to go back to my original.
But not many listeners know that. So and that because that's part of the 6 states that the Texas lawsuit brought against. Some weeks before that 140 of us signed onto that lawsuit, saying, if the improprieties of these elections are worthy of looking at. With Pennsylvania, for example, they had laws on the books of how their elections were supposed to be carried out, timelines, when the ballots are turned in, and they made executive decisions on how to run the elected without running through a legislative process. They just had a governor or a commissioner or somebody say, yeah, we're just going to extend the election 5 days or 7 days or whatever it is. And we're going to just mail out ballots this way and that way. And so it's worthy of asking the legal questions. And so I think when the people that say, no, everything's perfect with the election, we had COVID. We had to do this stuff and it had to be done on an emergency basis. Like, well, then you could convene your legislature to have debate, to have hearings, and run through a process so that people could have input and hear each other on it instead of just jamming it through. And so that's very dangerous to our democracy, if you want to call it that, which I don't. So that is close to just monarchy or dictatorship when you can have a single, like Gavin Newsom's doing to California right now. Every time he makes another COVID pronouncement, and the legislature just sits there and lets him do it because it's a Democrat-run legislature.
Congressman, the fact of the animosity, I'm going back to this, I'm not letting it up, the animosity that's in our country right now, and part of it is, and I'd say a great deal of it's stoked by media and other things, but is there any chance at all that the leadership in Congress and the president will actually sit down and have lunch together and say, hey, we've got to calm this down and come up with a plan?
I don't think so until the end of this year. The Democrats have a majority in the House.
Uh-huh.
They have the White House, and they have a 50-50 plus a tiebreaker in the Senate.
Right.
They have an agenda that they're going just full court press until next January 3. They want this voting stuff. They want tax increases. They would like to change more on health care. There's a whole list of things they would like to push through. And I think they don't really care if they lose their majority in the House and the 50-50 Senate in the next election. Because if they could get landmark, basically permanent programs in place, you know, Obamacare, they got pushed that through with the 60-vote Senate they had for a window of time back in 2009 or so, and a House majority, and Obama himself. So they got that pushed through, and have we been able to get rid of Obamacare? No, because we never had a Senate majority that we could knock that down with. We had to do it via budget reconciliation, or you had elements of it you could take out with 51 votes in the Senate and a House majority and a Republican president. You know, and say, well, why do you want to get rid of health care? Like, well, that isn't what that's about. It's about an oppressive system here that takes away your choices and replaces it with a government program that, you know, we won't go into that. But so once you put this voting situation in here where they take the power away from the states and they undermine voter ID, which, you know, 75-80% of people polled said they're okay with.
Yeah, that's good. Every poll I've seen has agreed that voter ID is fine.
So, you know, the Democrats are getting away with being against that because of all the other obfuscation that's going on. And saying, well, our democracy is in peril because of Donald Trump and Republicans. You know, he's still living rent-free in their head a year later. Trump's been gone a year. And this is what they run on. So I think they're conceding that they're going to lose a 2022 election majority in the House. You know, the Senate, the Republicans have to defend 20 seats. And Democrats have to defend 14. You know, I think we could pick off the guy in Arizona and the guy in Georgia, but we're going to have a hard time defending Pennsylvania because we don't seem to have any good candidates in the open Pennsylvania seat. There's a North Carolina one I think we should be able to hold, but, you know, there's just, I can't go down the whole list, but Democrat senators that are in play, you know, I don't know what happened to Arizona here. I thought that was a good gun tote people. Freedom-loving state, but they got, you know, this guy, Kelly's his last name there. He'd be vulnerable. He's voted a lot of with their crazy stuff, so.
Yeah, but they also have, what's her name, Simica, who's been.
Cinema. Yes, I came in with her. She's something else there, right? She'll charm your leg off, that gal. And she was always on we came in the House at the same time. She was always on our side of the building, just working and charming and chatting and laughing. You know, she's cute. She's got a bubbly personality, all that stuff. After a few months, I figured this gal was really dangerous politically because I was betting at a point here. She's going to end up being a senator from Arizona here. So she's fairly moderate as a Democrat, you know, but she's not so moderate in life as, I won't go into her personal choices and stuff. But she's very likable. We've worked together on the thing or two, but I don't see her going anywhere from Arizona. It's going to be that guy. I think it's Mark Kelly. She's been one of the ones hanging tough against getting rid of the filibuster and this big, super big spending bill here lately. So, along with Senator Manchin from West Virginia, you know, so she'll be all right. But we, you know, hey, so bottom line is we have opportunities in the Senate there. Do we have enough of them after we defend Republican seats? Not exactly sure. It takes some other, excuse me, political people than I can remember all of it to run through that. But you know, we, as bad as the Democrats are running things and as scary as some of their policies are, I would hope there's more states that have proposable Democrat senators. We can pick off two or three or four, and maybe Republican losses will to move one net. So, what I guess what I'm saying is all this is that the Dems, I don't think, are worried about losing the majority for amount of time. They still have Biden for the or whoever's going to be the chair for the last 2 years after that. And they know that people are going to forget about this in 6 or 8 years, 10 years. They can compete for the majority again. Maybe they think they're going to hold on to the White House in 24 with Harris or Buttigieg or, you know, Stacey Abrams or whoever their star is these days that they're going to try and promote from the ranks. And, it comes back to people got to pay attention to this. This rhetoric yesterday, if people aren't seeing through this, if they're not looking at the just the con job being fooled on the elements of January 6th being against our democracy and tearing down our form of government, how in the world can you believe that because somebody take over a building that somehow changes the whole of our government? Yes, that's a hallowed building. It's a building that's a symbol. I think when you see it, anytime you see it on TV or movie, you look at that, you think United States Capitol. That's kind of like the symbol of maybe the power and the strength of the United States. That's government, it's the military, and you know, all the things you feel about it when you see it, right? And so that is, in a way, hallowed ground, even though, you know, the actions of Congress and people in it tarnish it a lot of times.
It is hallowed
ground. The tarnish will polish off. When people do right, when people do selfless things. And that's I always have that faith. Okay. Hey,
Congressman, we have to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the economy with the amount of, you know, prices rising, inflation, talking about the, you know, supply chain, the things that are impacting on just the average American right now. And is there any, you know, what should we be looking forward to here in the near future? 8:31 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, Shasta Regional Medical Center has been certified by the Joint Commission of the Advanced Primary Stroke Facility by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services as one of the highest rated hospitals when it comes to a number of different categories, including heart attack care, emergency care. The Shasta, it also has the Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system, which means less intrusive surgery, less pain, faster recovery times. And they have the TAVR valve replacement, which means instead of having your chest opened up to replace a valve, they can do it via new procedure through your artery. Get the valve replaced. You get up that afternoon, and you go home the next day. Your chest isn't opened up. All of this is at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Last month, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to not renew the contract for the Dominion voting machines. This was a lease agreement valued at over $2 million. Supervisor Modi voted to renew the lease agreement and continue using Dominion machines. Now we find out that a representative from Dominion Voting, Inc. has donated money directly to Modi's campaign account. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. paid for by Shasek General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Don't let me hear you say lights taking you nowhere.
Good morning and welcome back to our morning show here at KTNR. This is Linda Bott and Carl Bott here with Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM with Your Talk Radio on this Friday, the 7th. Again, we're going to have showers with a high of 52 and overnight lows of 37 this weekend. Calls for a sunny and a high of 55 tomorrow. Great day to go. Take your Christmas decorations down. Put them away if you do or you don't, or you go out and enjoy some of this strolling around and enjoying the outside weather. And Sunday calls for areas of frost and mostly sunny with a high of 56. Welcome back to our morning show. Our Congressman Doug LaMalfa is on the phone, and this portion of the show is brought to you by
Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. The only place I go to get a haircut. They work by appointments only. Give them a call at 244-9478. It's man's last stronghold. And Congressman, the next time you're in town, we need to get you down there and get you a haircut.
Stronghold.
Man's last stronghold. They can trim your beard too.
Love it. I'm keeping it pretty short these days. I don't have the haven't done the Civil War era general beard in a while.
Inflation. Even though the military got a 2.6% raise, the Social Security went up and all that. But what it means with inflation is that we're actually getting less for our raises. And what's going on here?
It's being driven by spending policy and regulatory policy that makes everything possible. When you put too many fake dollars into an economy here, that their dollars are chasing fewer products due to the old supply chain or just less availability of when it's energy. You shut down pipelines, you shut down drilling, you don't keep exploring and keeping a steady flow for. On the oil side of it, then it's going to run a little bit shorter. When Biden comes out and says, like, well, he wants the Arab nations to send more, step up their oil they're sending to the U.S., whose side is this guy on? We have the ability, through the miracle of hydraulics, to extract more natural gas and oil than we ever would have thought was possible in our own North American, holdings, right? So, The problem points down to energy drives a lot of issues, right? So, when fuel goes up, my tractors are going to send out to the field in a couple of months to plant a new crop. It's going to cost more to run the diesel through them, run the engine oil, the transmission oil, the hydraulic oil. All those things, those prices are going to be up 20-30% more, okay? So somewhere in the chain, the farmer's always the last guy to get the price where it needs to be commensurate with the market is. It seems to be the marketer, the handler, and everybody else in between that gets the cut. Otherwise, they don't do anything for you. So the prices are going to go up somehow. You know, the trucker's going to haul it to the store, and the lights on in the store are going to be more expensive to run. So, I mean, that's just energy, right? And so everything that energy makes has to go up in price. So that's part of what you're seeing. And the regulatory climate where the water for producing crops is being run out through the delta instead of being stored by, we have two sets of delta pumps at the south end of the delta that can be filling up San Luis Reservoir with all this runoff that's coming down and not, you know, we'll never miss it. It's not like you're sending all the water to LA. You won't be missing this water because it's just running out through the delta into the ocean. They've let at least 210,000 acre feet, according to a stat I just saw yesterday, run out needlessly because they won't run the pumps because of this crazy biological opinion that's old and yellowed and tattered about how it's going to help the delta smelt. Well, they can't even find delta smelt now, okay? They do what's called a trawl. They do these trawls. They go out and look for them, and they can't catch any. They don't find them. And so we're sending all this water out also because the delta has to be flushed, not just of saltwater intrusion coming up to the intakes where some of the cities draw their water, but to flush out sewer overflows from cities that are not responsible for taking care of their own effluent. So, you know, so I can go down the list of reasons. The regulatory situation drives up costs, it drives jobs out of the country, drives the manufacturing out of the country. Trump made a pretty big leap towards keeping things here. And I don't think a consumer minds paying, you know, a little extra for something if they say, hey, I have a choice between stuff made in China and stuff made in the U.S. I think they'll do it if they're conscious of it, you know. And we had a greater consciousness of that, I think, during the Trump era. Now it's just like, oh, whatever, wherever. And we shut all our businesses down because of COVID fear and the yo-yoing back and forth of what's the COVID shutdown policy going to be in our state or country at any given time. And so you want to talk about these mandates and, you know, talking about the military here. I've seen some great testimony saying the vaccines look like they're keeping more and more people from staying in the military. And one testimony I saw was sent to me this morning by in a Senate committee the other day is that this doctor, she believes she's a military doctor, believes that there's more harm coming to those aged soldiers than is what is helping them with vaccines. And so, you know, the whole COVID thing is freezing our economy, and the dishonesty with how it's being, any given shutdown is being implemented is just chilling that, you know. I mean, I know a close relative that got another check from the state of California, got the first, I don't know, first or second, a $600 check just out of the blue. This person didn't even know why they got it. It says California state stimulus check, right? The federal is doing that, and I voted against most of those. It's irresponsible spending. And when you have that many dollars chasing fewer and fewer products, the price of those products are going to go up. Look at what the cost of a newer used vehicle is because we can't make chips fast enough to keep up. Here's 50,000 Ford F-150s sitting outside the Louisville plant waiting for chips to come. And they got everything, you know, the tires and wheels, the engines all bolted into it. They can't get a chip because we rely on China to have the computer chips set over here. Like, well, hey, 150 miles from here, they make chips all day long in the Silicon Valley. How come you guys didn't, you know, call them up quick, say, hey, here's what we need. Send them to us. I don't get these people.
Well, the car makers
set a priority in the name of environmentalism, in the name of COVID, in the name of energy, you know, coming from somewhere else because we want to preserve our environment perfectly. Well, you know, you're going to make. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, that leads me to another question. You even hear greenies and environmentalists saying this. Why aren't we looking at nuclear power? I mean, seriously looking at nuclear power.
They're looking at shutting it down, Carl.
I know. Right here in California. Yeah, that's something like 12% of the power from the Devil's Canyon or something like that.
Diablo Canyon makes about 9 to 10, depending on how you think about it.
Yeah.
We got another one called the San Onofre down there in San Diego. It made around 9 or 10.
Yeah, well, that was closed down. That was right on
the total grid.
Yeah.
of the total grid, two new plants, somewhere between 18% and 20% of the entire grid for the state. They shut it down because they created an atmosphere that Saturn Ofre, it needed some pretty extensive repairs to some of the piping and plumbing, but it's not something that can't be done by smart people, you know.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. When are the feds going to really take a look at you at reintroducing nuclear power to help offset the if you want to do away with carbon-based fuels in the next 50 or 60 years? Why aren't you investing in nuclear power? I mean, I don't see anything at the federal level on this, but maybe I just haven't seen it.
Well, interestingly, it hasn't been promoted for a long time now. You had people like Harry Reid and others. Nuclear waste obviously is an issue, right? You have to do something with the spent rods. Well, those rods can be reclaimed and re-energized by infusing new uranium into them. It's a process I can't pretend to be expert on, but other countries re-energize and reuse their rods. My understanding of it is that 80 or 90% of the spent fuel is more or less, in a way, recycled in that process. But you'll have to do your own research on that. I don't have the details of that, but it's something supposedly that can be done. So that would take care of a big portion of what is a concern around nuclear power.
Okay.
But, France relies heavily on nuclear power. Germany, their phase of theirs down because they're all politically correct and they want to have more wind and solar. Like, hey, wind and solar, hey, that's all great until the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine.
My solar lights have not been on for a week. I have.
Really?
My solar lights. You know that light up the, like our entrance lights, and one from my flag and all that. We just haven't had any sunshine enough to charge the batteries.
So there's a key thing right there, because these people believe that we're going to mine all this cobalt and other precious metals and build all these packs of batteries in order so that when the wind blows or the sun shines, you're charging up these batteries during those kind of days. And then we can live off those batteries. So they're hell-bent on pushing electric cars. Now, you saw what happened here in the state of Virginia here on the I-95 a few days ago, where they had a big snow in there, and like miles and miles and miles of cars were stranded for like 36 hours there. And so what if those were all electric cars like Gavin Newsom and Biden and the whole crew are hell-bent on putting through? Electric car batteries perform less efficiently in colder weather as it is. It's harder for them for whatever physical reason. And so you want to take a 50-mile, I think there was a 50-mile line of cars, if I'm not being overly dramatic here.
There was a lot of them. That's for sure.
And so you got 50 miles worth of dead batteries there after 2 days, how long can you run your heater, off of electric that way? Remember the electric grills you had that had those, the wires? You look inside your toaster, right? That's how they make heat, is by running electricity through a wire of resistance, and it gets hot. Well, natural gas and gasoline and diesel are really efficient ways of making heat in a situation like that, and of also propelling a vehicle. We have the engines we have these days are cleaner running than ever, yet they just were just because of an arbitrary goal. They said California's goals are, by 2045 net carbon neutral, whatever that means. And they just make the goal. They just make these round numbers and say it, and we all have to jump to it, So when you keep electing these dummies here, we're going to keep getting results like that.
We have about eight minutes left. This year.
Yes, sir.
This year, Congressman, what do you see, and I know you may have to dig deep for this one, what do you see that are positive that people are going to be able to work on that's going to move us forward? I mean, I know there's probably minor things, but, things that you've brought up before that you voted for, that you've had done, like, going back in and cleaning out the forest, things like this. I mean, is there something that's going to, that you see can happen that's going to benefit, people actually working together and benefiting the country?
I don't see much of that right now because the Dems have a year in order to achieve their far-reaching goals. And they know that they're probably going to lose the House and lose the majority. If you want to talk about the state of California, I can't even begin to.
I'm not addressing California.
3-1 majority, and Gavin Newsom's remaining call as strong as ever. So I don't know what we're going to do with this state. People are bolting out of here. They're taking the water away from agriculture, from hydroelectric power, and all that. We are in a bad way in this state here.
Well, what about things like?
But federally, yeah. You know, I think we can have a good conversation about Forrest Mills, but I'm lead Republican on the subcommittee on that, so that's something we're going to be pressing. I always do anyway, but we'll have even more wind at our back, unfortunately, because of the Dixie Fire, the Beckwith Fire, and all these other fires we have that get less press. You know, it's everywhere, you know. And the Forest Service is not doing the job, and, you know, at the high levels. You know, I always have to be clarified. This is not the people on the ground, you know, the ones that do the work that put the fires out. It's the grass. They're afraid to get sued, or they're afraid to step across the line on environmental. I think we can make up some ground this year on illustrating what's going on. But does that turn into legislation? Is it going to be lost in the wash of the big things that the Dems are trying to do in D.C.? You know, it's hard to tell. I think an optimistic thing is at the end of the year we're going to have some pretty fierce discussions during the election cycle about the direction of the philosophy of the country. You know, what is the thinking of the country going to be going forward? Is it going to be January 6th hand-wringing for a whole year, a deceptive deal like that? Or is it going to be talking actually about things that affect people, the economy, the availability? I mean, you know, food availability. We're not so invulnerable that the supply chain of food is going to be as reliable on. You know, watch for your pork prices to go up because California just put in a new law regulating how pork is produced. So, you know, that's just another effect. But I want to say that the debate that's going to be had this year, if people are paying attention, a lot of learning can come from this about where things come from and what the effect of government is on basic things that you're wondering why the cost is so high or why it's unavailable or why you can't. You know, the other day, two different businesses I visited in town here were closed early because they couldn't get enough workers to stay open all the hours. I mean, that's just incredible to me. And yet we're handing out $600 checks because Gavin Newsom doesn't want to be left behind from the the parade that the federal government was doing, handing out so-called stimulus.
I just talked to a well-known person here in town who provides a very important service. His family does, and they are having to shut down on Saturdays for that same reason. They can't get the personnel. It's not that they don't have the people coming in. They just don't have the personnel to work. And, I've been exposed to COVID, so they take off for 2 weeks, paid, by the way. It's everywhere. Yeah.
You were talking about inflation affecting Social Security checks and pay increases. We can't hand out enough federal or state money to make up for inflation by, you know, trying to somehow have cost of living due to inflation. There's not enough money in the world to keep trying to hand out raises in those areas.
No.
We have to curtail the cost of doing business. And that means if we have energy that we're constantly exploring for, expanding, making more efficient, building more new plants, not tearing down our hydro plants like up on the Klamath River, the north part of our district, and others, they would tear down every dam they could if people allowed them to do it. You'd be out all that hydro, be out the nuke, you'd be out. They don't like gas-powered plants. They don't like anything, Carl, and that's what people have to get through their heads, is that this isn't just some idealistic environmental thing. They're after just changing, really, the ownership of who owns America, who has what. They don't like private property. They don't like you living in a house by yourself. They want everybody to live in duplexes or fourplexes or apartments. It's really, I mean, I know I'm getting a lot of stuff here, but let me finish up here. I think we're performing
the most. Yep.
Yesterday was a lot of drama put on by Democrats in D.C. and the media just laughing and putting it out there, talking about our democracy. We're a republic. republic like we have doesn't lie in a building. It's not just contained in a building. It's actually much more, you know, like the church, right? The church isn't necessarily a building. The church is the patrons and their relationship with God, right? That's where it is. And so the same thing is our government is in the hearts, the minds, the souls of the people that love and respect the Constitution and those that they elect of this representative republic, democratically done on election day. Okay? That's where our government it is. So as terrible and as unfortunate as the Capitol attack was, it wasn't what was made into it by the media here. The building was 99.99% intact when it was done. They're trying to hype this in order to change our form of elections and get more control of elections and government centrally in Washington, D.C., and make elections even less certain. Our republic lies at the hearts of the people, not in any building. The idea that they're going to somehow overthrow the government by a mob going in and taking over, not a chance, because we were all whisked to another building somewhere during that. And if worse comes to worst, there's a secret bunker somewhere in the world where Congress would get hauled to in order to continue doing the business of the government as needed. You know, I mean, so it doesn't matter that a mob could break in and sit in the seats in the U.S. House. That's really, you know, tourists could sit in those seats. It doesn't mean they could make a motion to change the laws because it wouldn't be allowed constitutionally or by the American people. American people would take that for a minute, that just because a mob of any size happen to occupy a building or knock down a building, worst comes to worst. Did the court buildings in, what was it, Seattle or Portland suddenly change our court systems because a bunch of crazies took over the part of town? It didn't change our court system. It just meant that they couldn't use that building for a period of time until their mayors allowed their cops to root those people out of there. It doesn't change our system at all. So you have to just take that point home, is that our system lies within the people and within the Constitution. It's not any attack on a building that's going to change or overthrow and get rid of the form of government we have. It's much too strong. It's much too deeply ingrained. Unless people don't pay attention and quit caring, at that point, then I don't know what you have.
And we can close on that one. Thanks so much for being with us. And you know what, Congressman, I totally agree with that. You know, when people are talking insurrection, I said it wasn't an insurrection, it was a riot by a bunch of stupid people. Because our institution is too strong. And you're right. A building, though it's a symbolic representation, when it gets right down to it, if an earthquake happened tomorrow and it was swallowed, it doesn't stop our system from working. It is our country was founded on a constitution. It's a constitutional republic, and we just all need to take a deep breath, take a step back, and let's we need to move forward as one.
Step forward, Carl.
A step back to take a deep breath and then move forward into working together on this. There's too many forces out there like China and Russia and other places that they would love to see us. They love seeing this happen. And we need to, we need to take that step forward. We appreciate you coming in and, on the first Friday of each month, Congressman, give us an idea of what's going on there. And I didn't see you down in Florida with AOC partying.
No, Swalwell's down there. AOC's down there. So I guess I haven't. I still think being in Northern California is a bastion of freedom that I can relate to pretty well. I don't have to see a whole lot of masks when I go into town around here, but. On a side note, I did go to Sacramento the other day. You couldn't even go into the McDonald's and find a chair because that county has a completely different look at the world.
these guys are
oppressed down here.
We've talked about that. Okay, thanks a lot, Congressman, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and to all our listeners. Hang in there. We'll get through this if we keep paying attention. We'll see you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Monday, we have with us Shasta College. But at 7 o'clock Monday morning, we're having Supervisor Leonard Modi joins us. We have reached out, of course, to everybody that's running in this recall. Supervisor Modi contacted me, returned my request on the, being on the show, and he's going to be on Monday. We're going to address a lot of things. We have reached out and to everybody, including Mr. Hayward, Tony Hayward, and we have not heard back from him yet. So we'd like to have him on before the election. Also, let everybody make their choice, or at least, you know, hear an hour from everybody that's running. You can ask questions, you know, via the chat room. So have a great weekend. It is going to be sunny tomorrow, so it's a good day to get some things done. Rain is something that we can continue to hope we have for the next month, and build that snowpack up so we can fill Shasta Lake again like we did 3 years ago when they said, oh, it's going to take 3 years, and it took one good winter to fill up Shasta Lake. Everybody have a great weekend, and it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR.